Welcome back to Snap Judgment from PRX and NPR, the high and mighty episode. My name is Glenn Washington, and today, Snap is standing up to some powerful forces. Next up, Bill Hillman rocks his tale live in Chicago. Get ready for a choose-your-own-adventure story like none other.
I had a violent childhood. I got in a lot of street fights. I was in gangs. That all made it really hard to learn. And I had a lot of trouble learning how to read. And, you know, I struggled. I didn't read an entire novel until I got into junior college. And this teacher started getting me to read Ernest Hemingway's work. And I decided to hell with it. I'm going to read a whole book. So I strolled the halls of the library. I found The Sun Also Rises, Ernest Hemingway's debut novel, picked it up off the shelf, sat down, and just started reading. And this is a book about these expat Americans in the 20s who traveled to the Running of the Bulls in Pamplona, and they had this crazy adventure. And as I'm reading it, it felt like he was talking directly to me. And I read that book in 6 hours, and when I closed the book, I decided I was going to go to Spain and I was going to run with the Bulls. 3 years after I read that book, I was standing on Estafeta Street, the same place Ernest Hemingway had watched from 80 years before. I started to hear this like chaotic sort of rumble in the distance. And so I started walking towards it. And sure enough, it's Town Hall. It's where you're supposed to wait for the Running of the Bulls. And when a police officer turned their back, I snuck in through the barricades and I got on the course. And I decided I was going to run the curve, also known as Hamburger Wall or Dead Man's Corner. This is like the most dangerous place on the course. It's a really stupid idea. So the rocket goes off, which means the Bulls are in the street. And I hear this rumble just moving towards me. And everybody's panicking. People are flying past, screaming, scared. And the rumble just starts growing and growing until the ground starts shaking and the buildings are shaking. And suddenly this rocket, this black sort of rocket, just shoots into view. And the lead bull had bucked the runner, and he is floating over the bull's head, and he's screaming. And the herd and him, they all just crash and fall into the corner. And out of my periphery, I see a motion. I'm like, what is it? I turn, and there's a gigantic steer that hugged the inside of the corner and is coming straight for me. It is like 5 feet from me. And at the last second, I dive backward and kind of push off its side, and the people who are running next to me, it just tramples them. And they both scream out. And I stop and I like try to help them. And then I look up and there's one bull left at the curve. And it turns and looks at me. And this lone bull just starts coming for me. And I take off running. I never ran faster in my entire life. Now that first run had such an impact on me. I knew that my life had forever changed. I came back every year for 10 years. And over those years, I started to learn about the run, about the tradition. And I learned about this thing called running on the horns, which is to run in front of a bull. And what happens is the bull picks up on your cadence, and if it likes it, it follows you, and it links with you, and it'll follow you anywhere you go. When you run on the horns, it is such an intense rush. It's like being connected to the fiercest, most majestic beast on earth. And it's like catching a perfect wave. It's like summiting Everest. It is absolute glory. And over the years, I started to be able to do that little by little. And I started to get the respect of the Spanish runners and people started taking a notice that I could run. At the same time, I kept seeing all these foreigners, all these tourists that were coming, and they were basically just messing up the run. They didn't know what they're doing. They're just like me when I first came. They had no idea what was going on, and they were getting people hurt. So I thought, you know, I need to start writing about this. I need to write so I can inform and maybe help sort of clean up the street. And I did. I wrote one for Outside Magazine, and later some people decided to publish it as a book, as a survival guide, sort of the do's and don'ts of bull running. It was just amazing. It was like everything, my whole life was sort of like coming to a pinnacle. Like I finally became an author. I was going to Spain to run for the 10th time. I was just feeling great. And on July 9th, I was running in Pamplona. And there's one thing in my guide. If you get near a lone bull, if you're a first-time runner, you need to just run away. But it's sort of a paradox, because for guys like me who run for many years, it's like the ultimate is to run on the horns of a lone bull. It's like the most intense, the most exhilarating thing you can do on the, in the run. So I was running that day on the 9th, and sure enough, a lone bull appears, and I approach him. And everything's great. You know, he acknowledges me right away. There's two really legendary runners running with me, leading this bull up the street. Everything's going great, running. And I look back, and there they are, all the tourists. And they're panicking, and they're freaking out. And they're right on me, and I have nowhere to go. And the thing about panic, if you're too close to the panic, you're just as screwed as the people who are panicking. I tripped up on them. I ended up falling right in front of the bull, and this 1,200-pound black Spanish fighting bull with dagger-like horns swooped in. His horn pierced my mid-thigh. He lifted me into the air. I fell off, fell back down to the stones. I was on my back, and I knew not to get up because you're not supposed to get up if you fall. So I stayed on my back, but my knee was a little up, and he gored me again. And when he gored me under the leg, he just kind of let out this like seethe. He was like, oh. And the medics pulled me under the barricades. I looked down and it looked like my leg was swollen like a balloon on my thigh. And in the center of that balloon, there was a baseball sized hole. And it was like somebody had scooped a whole handful of flesh out of it. The little hole that was under my leg was just streaking, gushing blood out of my leg, and it was going straight down my leg and filling my shoe. And I knew about the femoral artery, and if it's severed, you got 2 minutes before you die. And I'm thinking, it's got to be the artery. I'm panicking, and I'm thinking, is this how I die? Right here, 30 yards from the freaking Ernest Hemingway statue. And I'm thinking about Ernest Hemingway. I'm like, you got me into this, man. And suddenly, out of nowhere, Michael Hemingway, who's Ernest Hemingway's great-grandson, just miraculously appears. We know each other. And he's like, he's not like what you would think of like as like a Hemingway, like a big, burly Hemingway. He's like kind of like this skinny little torpy guy with a high-pitched voice. And he's like, my God, Bill, you've been gored. And I'm like, yeah, Michael, I know, man. Ask the medics if it's the artery, you know? And that kid, man, he's only 18 years old. He was really there for me. He kneeled down beside me, took my hand, man. He was there for me. And he's like, Bill, the horn, it brushed the artery, but it didn't sever it. He's smiling at me. He's like, I'm here. You're going to be okay.
So much, Bill Hillman, for sharing with the Snap. Now, you better believe that Bill hasn't stopped running. We'll have a link to his survival guide and everything else he's written on our website, snapjudgment.org, along with info about where to catch the 7 Deadly Sins storytelling event. Check it out. That piece was produced by Anna Adlerstein.